over.
Hey guys, Stone Face Films podcast right around the corner, but first I want to tell you about a very exciting thing that we're going to be doing very soon. As part of the Dublin Podcast Festival, the Stone Face Films podcast is going to be doing our first ever live show as part of the all-day podcast extravaganza on Sunday the 24th of September in the Workman's Club in Dublin. We are absolutely delighted and thrilled to be part of this amazing podcast festival, the first Dublin Podcast Festival put together by the inimitable Headstuff and Aiken Promotions. You can buy tickets on Ticketmaster, we'll have the link up on Twitter and Facebook. We're just one of five shows that are on that day, and you can buy tickets for each separate show, or you can buy a ticket for the whole day. It's going to be great. It's going to be really great. You're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be really great, and we'll have a guest to announce for you very soon. So come along, laugh, I'm sure you'll learn some stuff, and just have a great time at the all-day podcast extravaganza on the 24th of September in the Workman's in Dublin. We look forward to seeing you there, and now on with the show.
I'm going to make a newspaper in an hour, Mr. Cowell.
So many fog formats. Honk.
Honk. It's the as of yet untitled Stone Face Production Committee Hour podcast, maybe longer than an hour.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stoneface Films podcast. My name is John Hosier-Byrne. With me, as always, the co-host of the show and comedian who almost couldn't be here today because he was putting a baby in a washing machine. It's Mr. David Riley.
Unfounded rumours.
Hey, listen, you were saying it during the break.
That's a good point.
Anything during the break is culpable to be said to you like you actually did it.
Fair game, yeah.
Yeah, that's the rules here. The Stoneface Films podcast, also with us today, and we're delighted to have him. The Roman to our Nico Bellic, Rob O'Sullivan. The engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions. You want to go bowling?
No, I'm good.
Very good. Video game humor, Connor.
Was that a joke about Grand Theft Auto 4?
Yeah. It was.
I was looking up Grand Theft Auto 4 yesterday because I was like, I wonder, can my computer run Grand Theft Auto 4? And I've never seen the name Nico Bellic before.
Or since.
Literally yeah, until this 11 moment. Hours ago.
I'd say, what kind of computer you got?
Got a, it got one of those flappy ones. You know those ones?
Flappy, a laptop.
A flap-top, yeah.
Conor O'Toole, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Our guest for today, you know him from his work online, you know?
You don't know me, let's be honest.
Well, you certainly will get to know him now.
You
You've been on the show before. People know you from being on the show before. And you've got an upcoming show, Deadline, which they should absolutely check out if they're in Dublin over the next couple of weeks.
Extremely interactive comedy theatre.
There you go, boom. How about that? Yeah, man, that's it. So how much, like, do these guys, how are they going to write down their stories?
I'm going to have other computers there.
How many computers are you going to have?
Three total, I think.
Three total.
That's right. I've done this once before with one computer, which is not enough computers.
Did you do a black hole?
No, I did it in, you know Ruth Hunter?
Yeah.
I did it in her office. One day, six months ago, and I was like, better book in a 2-week run of this.
More computers.
The only stand-up show where I've taken a smoke break in the middle of the show, and the show's continued on.
Great. That's unbelievable.
Inspired by John.
Yeah, I was just standing outside the venue having a cigarette.
Back to work.
I've since quit, so that bit's going to be useless, but... I thought it was quite an amusing image. The show just leaves mid-show.
Oh, you could take a phone call.
I would be taking phone calls, yeah. The phone will be on.
Arguing with the gas company, like.
Like the printers.
I hope it's for someone looking to buy some of this shit you've got up on adverts.
Oh, I keep forgetting that I can talk about my advert stuff in the show.
Yeah, Connor showing me his adverts over in Edinburgh.
Yeah,
he has loads of stuff on adverts, but uses the weirdest things for scale. Like I'm selling this dining table. Here's a finger skateboard for scale. Like items that are intentionally like just obfuscating the idea of scale.
Like a small version of a skateboard.
I gave away a French press once with a novelty lighter shaped like a match, but it was like half a foot high. I give away a lot of stuff for free on adverts.
Right.
Hit me up if you're looking for some good adverts stuff for free.
What are you selling right now?
Nothing at the moment. We're all sold out at the moment. Right. But
you need to be time to accumulate more crap.
Recently, I got rid of a chair, a big comfy chair, and I posted it up with... You remember I was briefly into 3D photography for a while there, John?
Oh.
It was a while I was really into into stereoscopic photographs.
Oh, I don't think I do remember, actually.
Well, that was a hobby of mine for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I made a film in 3D.
Really?
How about that? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's cool, man.
It was just me and Simon Mulholland and James McDonald larking around in our back garden and wrestling and stuff. You'd like, it's on YouTube. Oh, no, it's on firehousefilmcontest.com. I'm not sure if that's visible on YouTube.
Well, there
yeah.
you go.
If you've got any red-blue glasses, get on there. But yeah, I was like... decent chair, well used. Sorry, I've only got this 3D photograph of it.
We were in this pound shop in Edinburgh, kind of showing me these ads, busting my shit off, and just
buying stuff in the pound shop to later sell on my adverts.
Yeah,
I can't wait till you are putting up stuff that people have left in your flat after shows.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's
this man's driver's license.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Yeah, you do need a driver's license to come to the show, by the way, just so everybody knows.
What, someone's going to do the coffee run?
No nom de guerre in my paper. nom de guerre?
Nom de plume.
Nom de plume?
Yeah. Not the name of war.
He said guerre. That is the name of a train.
Strongbow.
Nom de guerre.
What's a guerre? That's a guerre train.
Train station.
Guerre is train station. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nom de guerre.
They call me the fat professor. The fat what? You know what I meant. You know the joke I was trying to make.
The fat controller.
The fat controller.
What did you say?
The fat professor.
That's my... That's
an Eddie Murphy movie.
The professor.
That's my nom de école, eh? is that right French?
Name, yeah.
Is that right French?
Asking our French listeners, is that right? Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, heavens. What the fuck is this show? Well, I'm glad to hear everything's going well, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it's gas. Any mad stories from Edinburgh between the two of you?
This isn't from Edinburgh, but I was at a protest the other day because they were trying to kick some homeless lads out of the canal. Well, no, they're trying to stop some homeless lads from camping beside the canal.
Right. Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah, it was real weird. There was like four lads sleeping in tents, or no, three lads and a gal sleeping in a tent, or sleeping in two tents beside the canal. And there's basically this one cop was just trying to kick them further up the canal.
Right.
Because it was like, oh, this is a bit close to the city, we'll just get out of here. It's really not even his beat, like some other cop was responsible for that bit of the waterways, and mm-hmm. he was just had some kind of grudge with the guys.
Right.
But they gave him this letter, right? And they gave him this hilarious letter that was basically like a threat going like, you know, you got to get out of this thing. But because it wasn't like a real like legal document or it wasn't like official in any way, and I guess they didn't want anyone to be able to trace it back to anyone, the letter was signed. It was like, you know, please leave this canal. You can't sleep here. It's public land or whatever. And then it was signed Waterways Ireland. Like it was signed in cursive Waterways Ireland, as if that was somebody's name. It's very strange.
That's very
strange.
There's a cruel inhumanity to that, isn't there?
Yeah. I feel like Waterways Ireland don't care either. I'm pretty sure the guards were just pressuring them into doing that.
Right.
Because probably some wealthy neighbour was like, they're unsightly.
I don't think so. I think it's just the guards. Cause that's
weird.
Like North Inner City. I don't care. It's fine. People are extremely... Like, I grew up in Green Hills and I now live in the North Inner City. And let me tell you, people are a lot more tolerant of other people and giving of their, like, space and time in the North Inner City of Dublin than you'd believe from what you'd read in the papers. Yeah. People are very good to each other.
Yeah, no, there's definitely...
I get not hit by cars way...
More?
I've put in a double negative here and it's...
Yeah, confused everything.
It's milled me all over. Yeah.
Much like the cars in Green Hills.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People, like, in Dublin 4, you're getting pushed off the road by 4x4s all over the shop.
Yeah.
A nightmare.
No, I think there's a real truism to the idea that there's a greater generosity of spirit within... generally speaking, working class areas.
Yeah. Sense of community.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So where I live is being like money-ified.
Gentrified.
As you can tell from my arrival, I'm the foot soldiers of gentrification. But the
man is putting up 3D photos of sofas.
Man is running a joke newspaper out of one of the flats. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
As there's people in it and under the canal.
But Yeah, they've opened like some student accommodation down the road from me,
right?
Which of course is exempt. If you build student accommodation, you don't have to build any social housing as part of the deal.
Ah, okay.
It's like a weird exemption for that. But they've called it. I couldn't figure out what it was called when I cycled by it first. It was like Unnest or something, and I looked at it for ages, and it's meant to be Uni Nest.
Right.
And I'm just really mad that whatever fucking developer put it up didn't even bother to learn that we don't call college uni here.
Yeah.
It makes me so mad to think of them being like, oh yeah, just everyone calls it uni over here in the British Isles. Oh, fuck you, developer.
No, I hear what you're trying to.
He's probably a fucking cop.
We've got a question here on the old Curious Cat. We've got a lot of questions in at the Curious Cat. For those who performed, so this is directed at the two of you, how was Ed Fringe? Any fun nights / hecklers or nightly adventures to regale?
Didn't you climb Arthur's Seat at night?
Yeah, me and Simon Mahan climbed Arthur's Seat in 3 hours.
I've never done it, so I don't know what the reference is.
This is a large mountain overlooking Edinburgh, isn't it?
I mean, I climbed it again 2 weeks later and it took 15 minutes, so I feel like me and Simon really made a bags of it. I think we climbed every possible route that we could possibly have taken to the top.
Right.
Like in a game of game of Pac-Man.
Game of Pac-Man, you went all the way around.
You have to do all the different routes.
Yeah.
That's what me and Simon did for Arthur's Seat there.
I like how you're like talking to me in a way that you think I can understand. Like, he's not going to get mountaineering, but Pac-Man.
I'm just proud of the fact that I knew the name of
well the game. Well done. Was Simon doing a show over there as well?
No, he just called over to to climb the mountain.
Cool. To Pac-Man a mountain.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to do it in 50 minutes if you tracked the whole way over.
That's true.
You
know?
you want to get the most out of it.
Yeah, we went in the middle of the night, so it was we couldn't see any of the actual routes, so it was a lot of like, let's climb up here. This looks extremely dangerous. Let's go back that way. Yeah, it was good fun, though.
I wouldn't go mountain climbing at night now, personally, but there you go. Any adventures, David?
None.
I did
like did no late shows. Nights. Didn't even really. I saw like four shows. Like I didn't even get the stuff.
Any good heckler stories we were asked here?
No, just had a fuck ton of people walk out.
Really?
Oh boy, howdy! Yeah. Oh,
I'm sorry to hear that.
I had like maybe 20, 25 people walk out one day.
Really?
Yeah. Chunks are.
Oh, that's rough.
A lot of people walking out.
Just not getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, my venue couldn't have held 25 people to walk out, so we were like really capped at 17 possible walkouts. It was great. And also, yeah, it would have been quite hard for people to leave our venue. They did. They still did, but it would have been quite hard.
My venue held like 80, so I mean, it was still a.
Oh wow, that's a big venue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of sound bleed issues, but it was fine. The worst is when someone leaves from the front.
Oh, no.
When someone in the front row walks out. Because if they walk, if you can see someone walking out the back, you can just look at the front row so you don't have to.
Yeah.
If someone from the front row leaves, you can't look anywhere. You're watching them the whole way.
Yeah. This is everyone in the crowd.
Yeah.
There's some people, though, that once they leave a show, like I had a show once where it was like 2 or 3 years ago. I think there was maybe 7 people in or something. And I thought I lost my phone, so I was acting under the impression that I'd lost my phone before the show. So I was a bit bummed out about that. And I had no pre-show music, so I was behind the curtain, behind the show.
Was this in a beach place?
This was in the place that was inexplicably covered in sand.
Yeah.
Don't know why that was.
An old church covered in sand.
Yeah, that was where I was playing back in the heady days of 2014.
Wow.
I just, like, the crowd all seemed kind of middle-aged and not that. See, the thing about Edinburgh, I'm sounding real ageist here, but basically, like, I think me and Dave have a similar experience of this, where we write shows for people in their 20s and 30s and then perform them to people in their 50s and 60s.
Right.
And
why is that? Do you reckon that's a venue issue? Like, or?
We're all usually earlier on in the day because I think the idea there, well, my thinking was always like, won't get the rowdy crowds, and won't get the loutish.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also.
But then it's the people who are floating around that day.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And because for an early people bird. In their 20s aren't up for whatever 12 o'clock show. Or
also,
whatever.
Smart people like me and Davey, who we want to be in our audience, are also the kind of smart people that look up the shows they want to go to beforehand and don't just randomly amble into shite that's on in a random pub.
Yeah. I had one of my favorite audience members was somebody who, if I'd seen them walking in, I would have made an unfair judgment as to them not enjoying the show.
Yeah.
It was like, like a really rough looking lad from Glasgow, fifties neck tattoo, like really just like, oh, you are gonna hate my Andrex palmed nonsense, like just
Andrex palmed.
Like, and he was unbelievable. He was nice. So good. He was all banter from the start, like. I was like, I was just saying where everyone was from, and like Ireland, UK, rest of the world. And I was like, any other nationalities? And he goes, Paisley, which is like a rough part of Glasgow. And I was like, but he was
separatist part of Glasgow?
Huh?
Separatist part of Glasgow?
Yeah, I guess what I made just like some joke about it being like a breakaway enclave.
Right.
But then I had just like one or two jokes about Thatcher in the middle of the show. And he was like, yeah, like he was fucking
shouting.
He came over to me afterwards and gave me this big hug.
Nice.
The man was just a callus in his fucking jean suit. Like, he was lovely, though, right? And he goes, show you this now. Takes his phone out, screens in bits. He puts in his PIN code to open the screen, and it's his... He wants to show me
it's
his lock
1066,
screen.
It's 1066, that's
no, he wants to show me his lock screen, but when he puts in the code, it just goes to his wallpaper. And it's just like, oh, he's like, that's my Bijan Freeze. It's just got the Bijan Freeze. And then he sort of double taps lock on his phone, so the screen goes off and on. And his lock screen is him in the middle of a field in a military uniform holding an Irish tricolour.
Yeah?
Went, great.
Like, but like with one of those like sashes that has a flag holder in it.
Right.
Like legit middle of a field, not a road to be seen.
Wow.
He's like, what do you think of that? I'm like, class. Gave me a tenner. Man was sound.
Wow, man.
But
nice.
It was just that thing of like, oh, you're going to hate the show.
That's unbelievable.
He was so good.
Yeah. What an interesting man.
Yeah. He was so good.
Yeah. What a deep
weird
individual.
Irish nationalist, Scottish man.
Bijan Freeze owning.
Yeah.
Standard bearer.
Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah. Here's a good question, lads. Anonymous asks, any books that you would love to adapt for film? Is there a book that you'd love to get the rights to adapt a film?
Oh.
Mixture Patient.
Too late, done. You can have it. You can adapt that. So
Mixture Patient.
Connor's gender neutral Mr. Man Little Miss book.
Oh, Mixture.
Great.
It's good. It's a nice piece of business.
What would be good to adapt? I know it would be, some people say it's unfilmable, but Stanley Kubrick family said everything is filmable. Dictionary, let's do it. Come on,
man, they made
an emoji movie. Yeah.
The fucking emoji movie.
We can effing do it. We can effing do
the tagline.
It.
So bad.
Did you guys see the emoji movie?
No.
Oh, I might go see it.
See, just to be honest, like from my understanding of it, is it just looks like all the exact same. Animation is in a real rut at the moment that isn't Pixar, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, oh, Lego made a successful movie out of a thing that doesn't have a natural narrative. All right.
They can just
keep doing that.
Lash it all together in the hero's journey and package it, punch it out. Like.
But with Patrick Stewart playing poop.
I would love to... Do you know what? I would have loved to... My first instinct there is to have do one of the Northern Lights. You know, the Philip Pullman book.
A good one?
A good Northern Lights one. I'd love to do that.
That's
that'd be great.
BBC are doing
a TV series of the
trilogy.
I had no idea. Yeah. Is it already started? Is
it's
it already
been
on?
In production for a while now.
Oh man. Okay. Well, then that's taken.
Yeah.
But that would be. Yeah,
that would
a
be
great
my
shout.
Choice as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it, man.
I think Third Policeman would be crack.
Third Policeman would be unreal.
You have a Monty Python like you know, in the Holy Grail, where the documentarian keeps popping up every so often.
Yeah.
Just doing the Selby notes.
There's been a couple of attempts to do. Miles Nagopoli and stuff, and it's a tricky
Colin
one
Meaney
to get
tried
right.
Like, do something, or was it Brendan Gleeson? Some of those Irish lads did an attempt. I think.
I'm thinking of Pacoon. There was one, you know, Sean whatever.
Pacoon was Spike Milligan, but Sean Hughes was in the.
Yeah, Sean Hughes did the Spike.
I have Pacoon on record at home. Yeah.
Spike Milligan narrated.
Sam Mulholland comes around. Get a bit of scratching on.
My legs.
Yeah.
Who draw them? La.
It's very fun. It's very good.
Is Spike Milligan narrated?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that'd be lovely to listen to.
It's very good. I'll burn you a copy of the record. I'll just heat up a different piece of plastic and press it into the...
Was it you that took the... record I had of the Pope's speech in Phoenix Park?
Yeah, I still have that. Yeah.
I gave that
to John.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, you can have it back if you like.
You're gonna remix it.
There's a locked groove during a choral bit in it, which is pretty cool.
Oh, really?
There's a bit where it's like, oh, 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 oh. It's good. It's good.
So what's a locked groove? One that isn't a spiral. It's a sort of...
Yeah, it'll just keep going.
I mean, it's not meant to be a locked groove. Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah. Which is really remarkable. For his, yeah, there's some other records. Oh, there's... did you have a copy of... Because there was something we were doing years ago required us to bring loads of records into a place. And so I have a bunch of random records of yours. Like, I got like a Barbara Streisand record, I think, is yours.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Barbara Streisand and Barry Gibbs.
Yeah.
Bought that for John, too, based on the album artwork. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Connor borrowed these for some reason.
Panzer Classics.
I think they just ended up staying... I think, like, I just... They ended up in my house somehow and just never got back to you. I have...
Did you do anything with them?
Well, you know, there's a two-sided... there's a Both Sides of Bruce. Is that one of yours? Just occurred to me. Both Sides of Bruce.
Five.
Yeah, there you probably.
I bought you five vinyls in the Oxfam. Yeah. Just there on George Street.
Bruce Forsyth. Yeah, so it's a double album, one disc of songs, one disc of stand-up comedy. I have it framed in my kitchen.
Fuck off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So you pop on,
Someone?
It's a very nice sleeve.
You borrowed some discs off me for some reason which apparently never happened or is fiction.
Nobody can remember.
Or was never existent in the first place. You borrowed these records, presumably let Simon Mulholland scratch all over them, which I believe not great for records, but we'll move on. We'll move past that. And then you just took one and then just golden hand of ownership it and framed it and hung it up in your flat. All right, okay, cool. Yeah.
Just to work clear.
I have no comments. I just wanted to make sure I had the sequence of cause and effect.
I took the disc set first so we could keep scratching it.
So it's not even the vinyl is framed.
Sleeve.
It's just the sleeve of Bruce Forsyth, Both Sides of Bruce.
It's a beautiful sleeve.
That Barry Gibbs, Barbara Streisand one is glorious.
I don't remember that one.
It's the boat in white suits and a white background.
That might be in my dad's house now. I don't know. I honestly didn't maliciously steal your records.
I know you didn't. I know.
I've got better records than those ones.
I don't doubt it. They weren't, with the greatest respect to David, who gave them all to me.
They're on deal.
Really? Because there was me thinking you were in tower buying full price, 20 quid a one.
Through the collectibles. Yeah.
I got a record recently. Future of the Celibate Community is a spoken word record out of Cork by some priest talking about...
Or future?
The future of the celibate community. Had a real nice sleeve. That's why I bought it.
Wow. And it's a priest.
Just a priest having a bloody chat about what could possibly happen with the celibate community.
And when did this come out?
70s.
Oh, right, okay.
They're all dead now, I would imagine. Yeah.
Should have told him. Didn't predict that, did he?
He won't have any kids to hold up the celibate community.
Yeah. American priest, obviously.
For the rights of that record to be passed on to.
Yeah. Probably open.
You could adapt the shit out of that record to a TV show. Mm.
And that is what we would adapt into a film. Damn. Thank you for that question, Manon. a record about celibacy and the future thereon.
Go for it.
Hey guys, the show will be back momentarily. I just want to take this ad break to tell you once again that we are doing a live show, our first ever live show, as part of the first ever Dublin Podcast Festival put together by the inimitable Headstuff and Aiken Promotions. We're doing the show live on Sunday the 24th of September in the Workman's Club in Dublin, and I'm super excited for it. You can buy tickets for this all-day podcast extravaganza over on Ticketmaster. We'll have the link on Twitter and Facebook, and I'd recommend coming for the whole day. We're just one of five shows that's going to be, it's going to be really, really good. It's going to be funny. It's going to be informative. It's going to be great. And you're going to have a really good time. And sure, what else would you be doing on a Sunday? So yeah, we'll have a guest announced soon and it's going to be great. So come along to the All Day Podcast Extravaganza on the 24th of September. The Workmans, look forward to seeing you there. And we'll just get back to the show.
Anon asks, have you played Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes yet?
Anon?
It's very good. You? Yeah, you played that at all, Connor?
No.
It's a good game. One person has a wee PC and they're...
Is that a specific kind of PC or are you just...
No, it's a PC game. Like, one person is on the PC and they have a wee bomb.
Oh, I played that recently. It's great.
Yeah, and you're turning the bomb around. You're looking for batteries and codes and all sorts of things. And then everyone else is on their phone and they have a PDF of how to disarm the bomb.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And everyone's talking the person with the PC through it. It's a real clever...
So it's a bit like the... what was the space game? Space Team? It's a bit like Space Team?
I'm not familiar with
Space
Team.
You guys play Space Team? You feel like you guys would love Space Team.
Oh, I do know Space Team.
Yeah.
Keelan made me play Space Team one time, I think.
Yeah, I remember playing Space Team for
a
few weeks.
Is that what it's called? Space Team?
I didn't think it was called
Space
Team.
What's the game
we played? Collective one where you have to press different buttons?
What's the one we played and everyone has their own job?
That's a different one. That was Space Cadets. And that was...
Lovers in Space Time.
Not great. Oh, Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time.
That's what I'm thinking of.
That's an amazing game. I love Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time.
I've been playing some games recently.
Noticed.
Go on. What games have you been playing?
I played Inside.
Beautiful game.
Incredible. So good.
Did you play Limbo as well?
I played Limbo.
That? Yeah, yeah. The same guy who's made it.
Yeah, yeah. I played Abe's Odyssey. Have you heard of this one?
Of course.
I was playing Abe's Odyssey yesterday.
I love Abe's Odyssey.
Fucking so frustrating.
Was it the original or the HD remake?
I bought both. My computer isn't good enough to work the HD remake. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up playing the original, which I kind of...
preferred.
The graphic style is kind of nicer, I think. It's kind of creepy in its low resness.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But
I played the original not so long ago, actually.
The way the save thing works is so... so terrible. Like,
I bet they changed that in the HD remake.
Yeah, I'd say so.
How does it work?
Reloading in, like you'll die and then reload in five screens away where there's like nothing to do. And those screens you just need to travel.
And you're like, it's a surprisingly slow game when you go back to it.
Yeah, I've never gotten out of Rupture Farms. I remember playing when I was like 8. It was like, oh, it's so scary.
An incredible, dark piece of... Really, it's Joe, you'd love as well Psychonauts. You'd really, really dig.
You know, I tried Psychonauts a while ago, but I didn't commit. I'm kind of too old now to...
I know what you mean.
To give like...
I know what you mean.
To be like, oh, I'll give this 5 hours. You know, I haven't spent €30 on a disc that... Like when I was like 12, I bought Final Fantasy IX for €30, and it was like the most money I'd ever spent on an object in my life.
One of my favorite Final Fantasies as well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Oh, I played Chrono Trigger.
Yeah?
Great show.
Last year. So great.
Yeah, great game.
I've been trying to find a game like that I'll enjoy, but I haven't found one yet.
Did you ever play Final Fantasy VI?
No.
Final Fantasy, if you like Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI is a really, really great game.
Cool.
And you could play that very happily on your PC, no matter... Mm-hmm. Play that on your calculator, like. that's cool. What other games have you been playing? Because you were never a gaming boy, really.
Not really. I mean, I played Spyro the Dragon a lot when I was a kid. Yeah. But
strong game.
Yeah.
You got the old crush.
Oh, I've been playing Steven Sausage Roll. There's a game.
Steven Sausage Roll.
You guys play Steven Sausage Roll?
Something you and your uncle play.
Oh boy, you know about Steven Sausage Roll? It's so great. So it's a puzzle game. It's really, really hard. You just have to roll these sausages around and cook them on a grill.
Okay.
It's so insanely hard. Like every level you play, you're like, oh, this is literally impossible. And the graphics look pretty much like shit, and it costs $30. It's so funny. I love Steven Sausage Roll.
It's got 5 out of 5 in The Guardian, 9 out of 10 on Steam, and 90% on Metacritic.
Have us a look. Will you show me that?
Here's the trailer.
Oh my god! So like, I think people thought this game was a prank. Like my James McDonald was telling me about it. He was saying that like all the big games boys. What's that guy's name? Jonathan Blow? Is that his name?
Having a clue, man.
Some of the big puzzle games makers guys.
Jonathan Loaded Fez.
Oh, that's Fish, isn't it?
No, that's Paul Fish, something Fish.
Jonathan Blow is Braid and
Braid, sorry.
The Witness.
Yeah.
But I think they were like saying, this is the best puzzle game ever.
Philip Fish.
And everyone thought they were just
Phil Fish. You're right, he is Fez. That looks pure muck.
This is
lads.
The trailer, by the way. This is the official trailer.
That's what's trying to grab you and dispense.
It's only $30 though, so.
That's the trailer. That's the whole trailer.
It didn't even show gameplay.
I've got my phone doesn't play sound sometimes, a lot of the time, which is kind of a fun new dimension to the whole phone usage thing.
Yeah.
You're just saying that like it's a feature.
I'm just saying if any
phone would be coming from the word phone. Phonos
any sponsors out there want to sponsor me on this podcast? Yeah. To, my appearances.
Sponsored guest.
I mean, I could. I'll. I'm on Vodafone, so if they could send me a phone to Stag's Head.
Conor O'Toole, Stag's Head.
Yeah, that'd be
Carol
great.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
But I will go to any other network. I'm not tied to Vodafone.
Luke Bruton asks. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across you. I was just trying to move away from him begging the audience for phones.
Luke Bruton asks, I've been skipping Electric Picnic every year. Would you recommend going even if it's just for a day? I'd love to experience it before it goes the way of oxygen.
Nah.
Too late. Electric Picnic.
I mean, it's good, but I wouldn't pay to go.
No.
I know it's a very, like...
You should... I saw that Jinx Lennon was playing it, who I would have loved to have seen.
He was there on Saturday.
And I would have maybe tried to get booked for it, if that had been the case.
Irish.
He's from Dundalk. He's the poet laureate of Dundalk. He's the best. I love Jinx Lennon. You'd love Jinx Lennon. He's a guitar troubadour, angry poet man.
Troubadour, yeah. Who, I was gonna say, he's a spoken word musician.
He's troubadour is the word extremely for that. Bang on.
Luke Bruton also asks, been to any drag shows this year? Have plans to see any next year? Katya and Trixie Mattel are bringing their respective shows to Dublin in January and February. So there you go. Anyone seen any drag shows or has plans to see any drag shows?
I never have the money.
Yeah. Really? Are they expensive?
Yeah, they're expensive because they're also in like the Olympia and stuff. So
they're not in the whatever the dragon now.
Some of them are in the George. The bigger names now are in the.
There was the one Olympia, really. Last week that was in the Olympia.
The Olympia, yeah, it was the Queens of Comedy.
Yeah,
really, that's fair play to them. Isn't that remarkable? Jesus, what like, just from a nationalist point of view, like how far the country's come in such a short period of time that that's now in a that's now a theatre. Experience, you know what I mean?
Have you never been to a panto before, John?
No, but there's a distinct difference.
The where I was staying in Edinburgh was right next to where the Ladyboys of Bangkok are.
Right.
And it's like a circus tent. It is just this huge...
I've heard about them before.
Ladyboys of Bangkok have had a massive tent in Edinburgh for the last like the first time I went there in 2010, I was like, wow, they've got a crazy big tent. That's
I think Laura Byrne was talking about them being in a big park where you have to, a real dangerous park at night.
In the Meadows, yeah, they were in the Meadows before. Now they're in a bigger lot.
Like last year, I think Laura Byrne was saying that to me.
But you know what, like 7 years ago, I would never have considered going to see the Ladyboys of Bangkok because it was like 30 quid and there's a lot of other stuff on the Edinburgh Festival. But they're still selling out a gigantic tent for entire month. Mm. 7 years down the line. Like something's good. Good's got to be going on there.
I did see a drag show. I saw Courtney Act in Edinburgh. It was atrocious.
Courtney Act, the Brittany Fishy Brittany girl
from Australia.
Yeah, it was atrocious.
She was the worst.
I quite liked her on the show, but she was.
Oh man, I hated her on the show.
It was real bad. It was really, really
bad. Really disliked her. She was so arrogant.
Yeah, I've only gotten to season six now. Yeah, so
real bad.
When's the new series tonight? Actually,
I don't know, but I know that it's going to be
shooting
on
now.
Netflix,
probably is it?
And so are they? I think they're going to be putting the All Stars on Netflix soon as well.
Have you guys been watching any of Rick and Morty as it comes out?
I haven't seen the latest.
Man,
whirly so dirly good. Dilly dooly.
That was the last one you saw.
The whirly dirly.
Yeah, yeah. You watch Rick and Morty?
Whirly dirly. Connor, I feel like I have seen that episode.
It's the latest one.
The whirly dirly. No, the last one I saw involved a cannon that turned I think Pickle Rick is as far as I've seen.
Oh, okay.
Pickle Rick.
I think. What's the one after Pickle Rick?
Vindicators.
Vindicators.
Yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah. Vindicators is.
What's the one after Vindicators?
then Whirly Dirty.
Whirly Dirty.
And then there was one after that.
I feel like I don't know what Whirly Dirty is. So.
Whirly Dirty. The one after Whirly Dirty is.
Can you say any proper nouns to give me clues?
It's Rick and Jerry.
It's a Rick and Jerry.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
And then the last one was when they went to a spa.
Rest and relaxation is the name of the episode. There you go.
Sorry, I just wanted to just mention something about Ladyboys of Bangkok. I just remember a friend of mine went to see it in Edinburgh.
Yeah,
so it's the first time I actually heard of what it is. So it is just a drag show, but then there's comic relief in the form of a 50-year-old short person who runs around tripping occasionally, who's not Asian at all, is just some lad.
Like a person with a disability, short person.
Yeah.
Right.
Just running around falling over.
Yeah, and then comes out occasionally and sings, or lip syncs to really high-pitched songs. And then, you can finish the story for me. There's a bit where they do a song from The Lion King.
All right. I think you can save the 30 quid, Connor. I don't think. I think your instinct 7 years ago was right on the money, to be honest.
Right, yeah. That said, there was a guy 7 years ago who also used to sing in the Meadows to sell the big issue.
Oh, really?
And I bought multiple issues of that multiple copies of that same issue, the big issue.
Oh, I was really ready for you to be like, and that guy now is selling
that
out.
Guy now is still, were you there that time we walked by? And I was like, is that the same guy? It was the guy who was like, it sounded like he just gotten really experimental. Because he used to be like,
I mean, 7 years into his career.
Don't be shy, give it a try, buy the big issue.
He's in his avant-garde stage.
Yeah, is he trying new rhyming patterns or time signatures?
It was very avant-garde.
Very prog.
It was very like, big issue! Try it!
He did his cocaine like, face.
Maybe. But I wonder if really it was the same guy.
And he became Puddle's Pity Party.
I don't know what that is.
That sounds like a game.
You know Puddle's?
Yeah, he's great.
No.
He's like a
clown with a golden voice.
Mainstay. He's a clown, but he sings. I don't really know. I've seen him at the wrestling a few times.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah, I saw that show.
He's really good.
I'm very tired. I think
he's been on America's Got Talent or some of those. They seem to just keep poaching acts every year. I say poaching. But the last few years of America's Got Talent, each year there's been like an Edinburgh kind of cult act has done quite well on America's Got Talent. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's not officially out yet, but...
Yeah.
Just... I'm gonna
make a newspaper in an hour, Mr. Cowell.
So many fog formats. Honk. Honk.
You know, I mean, like, my songs are education in themselves, you know. I'm kind of an edgy singer.
Just your hair, the lights go out. It's whale sounds.
Yeah.
It's just
ladies and gentlemen, let's sing about layout.
It's a whale.
Your show about the first show about font, which I can't recall.
Manual style.
Yeah.
That was a superb show.
Yeah, I was thinking really about that recently. I was going, haven't I written a show that good since? I realized it's because there's like 8 parts in that. Loads of stuff in that show.
I in no way meant that derogatory towards anything that came subsequently. I'm just saying that was like, I still think about that show from time to time. It's really, it was a fantastic piece of work.
I want to do a show next year that's more like that, with loads of different things happening all the time in it. Because that was like, I think I saw Bo Burnham's show the year before, and all my friends were like I was the youngest comic in Edinburgh in 2010.
Right.
And then Bo Burnham was like 2 months older than me, and I was like, you would have fucking had this accolade if I hadn't come and jizzed it up the wall in my dumb show at 11 in the morning. And I was like, my show was just 60 jokes in a row on a tiny piece of paper. And his show was like a load of different bits where he played that like kind of
piano.
The hand movement there to denote piano. You could have been bowling.
But I was just impressed that he had like a whole load of different bits. I was like, wow, this hour is not dragging out as long as my fucking show seems to. It's really the same length. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to write a thing where there's loads of different things happening.
You're watching like Filmmaker. You're like, well, that flew.
Yeah. Simon Munner did a show called Filmmaker about 4 or 5 years ago where he did live films, he called them, where he would like... He had like a...
camera on his face.
Yeah, he had a camera that had like a silvered mirror so he could like show you. He was projecting onto the front wall. Like I think the premise for it was like what the microphone does for the voice, the camera does for the face.
So he was at the back of the room.
His face onto the screen.
Everyone was looking at the stage, but he was at the back of the room in a corner, and his face was just projected onto the screen. I have the DVD of the second show.
Oh, cool!
Did he do the tea party thing, or was that you, Connor?
That was me, I think.
That was you, the tea party.
Tea with Connor, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me, yeah. So it was, that didn't really work. I was like, I want to get a sold-out show at the festival this year. So I did one show every day, had one ticket available for tea with me. It cost one cup of tea in whatever place we went to. There was no real charge for it. And I'd write 2 minutes of material for every...
Yeah.
And I'd write on whatever they wanted, right?
So it was
2 minutes on
any
bit of material, and then 58 minutes of improvised banter, such as a chat. And then at the end of the run, I was going to do all of the 2-minute parts, which would be a new 50-minute show called Entire OT. But I only had like 14 tickets sold, so didn't happen.
Did you put that in the big book?
No, I didn't.
Phew.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's like 400 quid.
What's the big book?
It's like the
oh, I see. Yes, know. The catalog.
Yeah.
Some people don't put their shows in because it's not necessarily the best way.
This guy.
Oh, really? You didn't put it in this year
or last year?
Really?
Yeah.
You're a crazy man.
How much does it cost to put it in there?
£400.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, did that hurt you? I mean,
profit.
I guess people don't. People just see you on social media.
Is there an online component?
Yeah,
there's an app now. The app seems to be getting good numbers in.
Right.
The app's pretty good. Yeah. Year.
Yeah, because Aiden got good numbers in via the app.
Hey guys, it's Rob here. This is just a quick ad to tell you that my album, The Cooper Church Amendments, All Things Must Pass, is available to listen to and buy over on Bandcamp for just €5. That's cheaper than a pumpkin spice latte. I wrote and recorded the whole thing in my little home office, and it's really exciting that I get to share it with everybody. It's a super personal album dealing with self-expression, mental health, social issues, and friendships. So go to thecooperchurchamendment.bandcamp.com to check it out. Have a listen, buy if you like it, and tell your friends, and I really, really hope that you enjoy it.
What we're talking about, this sort of thing, Anon asks, do you have someone you trust review your writing and give you feedback while it's in progress?
Funnily you should say that. Connor came to my show twice, once as a punter, and then once as a director.
As a director, really?
Well, kind of.
No, I came and took notes, yeah. And I didn't pay him that time.
Yeah, and then he let me keep the notebook. And my favourite note is...
It was...
So he just... There's like 60 wrote. Notes.
Really?
Yeah, there's loads.
It's good value for money.
And then I got to keep the notebook.
Kelnick.
He bought me dinner, though.
Smashed
good.
Shooting pretzels is anti-Semitic.
Shooting pretzels is anti-Semitic.
Yeah, and because we finally figured out what Connor meant by that was he thought I was talking about bagels.
Mm-hmm.
Before I mentioned shooting a pretzel.
Right.
I thought I was talking about shooting bagels.
Yeah. Right.
And I was kind of confused because he was saying like the pretzels are mainly negative space, which is true. But I was like, is he talking about bagels?
But still, bagels, I mean, a lot of negative space in a bagel.
There's some. There's like, not going to...
Not as much as a pretzel, in fairness. Yeah.
But just, I love the note of pretzel shooting pretzels is anti-Semitic.
It's not. Yeah.
There's some.
The notes were good. Some of them are like, stop making the audience feel stupid. You haven't mentioned a bus in a while. Turn page. You're talking about buses now.
Great.
Real live note taking.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah, good. yeah. What's the second note? It was like...
The second note you gave. Oh, yeah. Take the low end out of the mic. It's just too bassy.
Yeah.
So I fixed that the next day. Start the show sooner. Yeah, that was a good note.
These are all things that have been... Have these all been corrected since...
Some of them.
Something's going to be in the new show.
He actually added in lower, which is really weird.
He did, actually. A lot of it is explain. People don't know. Who's Robert Peel? Stuff like that. Stuff that I was, making my show very accessible.
There was one person that you mentioned where I was like, David, you mentioned this person at some point and I didn't know who it was. I think he's meant to be like a World War One poet. And you were like, oh, I made that person up. Like, well, that's why people don't fucking know what you're talking about then. That's maybe why.
So is this all going along with the earlier note of stop making the audience feel stupid?
Some part of the same show. Yeah, that was it. Connor was like, how the fuck are you supposed to, the audience aren't supposed to understand if you're talking about something
why
that you've
just
invented.
Say Siegfried Sassoon or Wilfred Owen?
I call them like Percival or something.
Streets. There was that poet Streets. Yeah, I'm not talking about
Mike
Skinner. Cry Your Eyes, mate.
Yeah.
Voice of a Generation.
Rob, you've been writing with a person.
Yeah,
lately.
I've got
actually, how does the play go? You were writing a play with an individual.
Yeah, we got it finished and we sent it in. The new theatre, we're looking for new plays for readings in November.
That's great, man.
So we wrote it in space of 2 weeks. Yeah, we basically kind of bounce things off each other and if she writes something, I'll read it.
Anon asks, with what I can only describe as a somewhat grandiose concept of our identity or working life. How many screenplays did you write before one was made into a film or TV show? So, loads, evidently. I don't know.
I feel like I've made everything I've ever written.
None.
I'm very pragmatic.
You do. You make a lot of like smaller scale stuff, I suppose. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you've made how many shorts have you made?
About one a month for the last three or four years.
Like, that's remarkable. That's a remarkable level of turnover. Like.
I don't like writing things and then leaving them in a book. Because I get back to things quite often, I mean, like, none of these are necessarily good ideas, but I think that I'm going to try and get that golf course going, John. I think that I'm finally going to do it. This could be the year.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I had right song by file formats in my phone for 2.5 years before I just did it one morning on the toilet. So, I mean, it just... I mean, okay, so like, we were in a one-room flat. Ruth was sleeping in the living room, and mm-hmm. Colin was asleep in the bedroom. And so I just took my laptop to the computer, cracked out a few lines...
You took your laptop over to the computer.
I took my laptop over to the toilet, should I say, and like sat down, did a bit of work. And that's done now. So I mean, like, I like how ideas ferment. You know, you gotta get them done.
Man, I have huge respect for that. Like the one.
Is there like a miniature golf festival or anything that I could maybe?
Not that I'm aware of. They do foot golf, foot tea over in. it's like golf but with a football.
I'm looking for like a Chelsea garden show but for miniature golf.
That's a brilliant idea.
I mean, like, who wouldn't go to that?
Yeah, I'd go to that.
Tom O'Mahony has built golf courses before.
Has he?
From a civil engineer point of view. Yeah. So he might know.
Do you remember I had a whole because you came up with this idea while we were working in the paper. I did a bunch of different drawings of hypothetical like courses for you. And we went through them in your old sitting room.
Yeah, I have like a, I have a
photo. There was a
book somewhere.
One.
Yeah,
with like a giant clock arm that constantly looped around.
I don't remember that one. God, that sounds good. I have a drawing of them all somewhere.
It was a xylophone one.
There's loads of ones that were based on like different services, like a course that was a half duct tape and half marble, and you have to like try and get just the right amount of hit to like make the speed change work okay. But yeah,
yeah, good. That's it. You should like do the walls change surface so you're gonna get different bounces off it. So you could have like sponge,
yeah,
and like table tennis table all cut up, you know.
Yeah,
I'm sure wood would be equally applicable.
Do you remember that amazing golf, that miniature golf course we went on? That was just the Kerry Mountain Range.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That was a great golf course.
Staying in Kerry was, and we went down the following year because we always go down to Kerry with the newspaper people for a week. After the paper was done for the year. We went down the next year and followed the road, the old untarmacked road, down to the Kerry-themed miniature golf course. And it had been set on fire.
What?
And there was a huge black hole in it.
No.
And it was closed, but they just left out a bunch of putters and balls and just a little handwritten sign said, if you want to go play miniature golf, just go around the back and go play it. And we played it with a big fucking black hole in the wall of the thing.
Jesus. Oh, I'm fair so sad.
Well, they kept it going anyway.
Yeah.
Fair play to them.
Someone else was telling me about their dad making miniature golf courses somewhere. I don't know who it was. But yeah, I'm sure there's... Yeah, you're in the festival biz now, John. The Wicklow Miniature Golf Festival. You can get me a field, can't you?
Don't you worry, man. I'll get the panels
get
together.
Get Don Conroy down. Get him to open it up.
We could get a Padraig Harrington over.
Yeah, I wonder if he's any good, though. I mean, like, it's not really his field, is it?
Miniature golf.
It's a different sport.
Different sport, yeah.
You don't see Federer and table tennis Olympics.
Sure. Different set of muscles. You gotta use your brain, not your arms. Like those goons on the field.
Oh, notoriously stupid Padraig Harrington. Listen, let's leave it there. I've had a lot of fun. I really hope the listener has as well. Connor, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us, John.
Check out his upcoming show, Deadline. Check him out at c.honorotool.com. Is that right?
Yeah.
.com. Deadline should be lots and lots of good fun. Tickets are available, but are limited. So go on, check that out.
Fringefest.com.
Also, go check out David Riley's show, Double Decker Bus, which will be running where, David?
The Bellow Bar, 15th to the 21st of September.
Great, check that out. And next weekend, I've got the Wicklow Film Festival going on down in the Mermaid Arts Centre in Bray. It goes on from the 8th till the 10th, and there's a lot of very interesting films on with some really interesting panels. If you have the weekend free, why not go check out a film or two? And I'll be moderating a bunch of the panels afterwards. So well, come and I'll shake your hand. Rob, you anything to plug?
We have a live show on the 24th of
fucking serious.
September.
How do we get through two shows and not mention?
I don't know. I completely fucking forgot. We've
motherfucker.
Got
24th September, part
Workman's
of the Dublin
Club.
Podcast Festival. Tickets are on sale from...
On Ticketmaster. We'll have the link up on Twitter.
Really? Okay, yeah. Fantastic. All so right, perfect.
Guest to be announced. We're guest part of a day of...
Super secret guest.
Wonderful
that's
podcast.
We'll, that's how we'll market that. <Yeah. David. laughs> We've got a super secret guest all lined up. It should be a lot of fun. Listen, yeah, Rob, when's that?
Sunday the 24th of September, Workman's Club. Tickets available on Ticketmaster, part of the Dublin Podcast Festival.
Great, check it out. And we will certainly shake your hand there as well.
Yes.
On behalf of our guest for today, the editor, they call him. Check him out at Connor O'Toole at various things. Mr. Connor O'Toole, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Bye-bye.
Right. Thank you very much to the engineer of Sentinel Audio, the Bowling Roman, to our Nico Bellick, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions.
Bye, everybody.
To the co-host of the show and comedian who almost couldn't be here today because he was putting a baby in a washing machine, Mr. David Riley.
Goodbye, folks.
My name's been John Hosier-Byrne. Thank you very, very much for listening. Good night.
This episode of the Stoneface Films podcast is brought to you by the fine people over at patreon.com/stonefacefilms. I first want to thank our top lads, Anna, Abby Dessert, Mandy Taylor, Terry Peterson, Therese Smout, Mike Matz, Laura Conway, and Rebecca Hieronymy. Next, the Ensigns, the Tom Parises on the USS Best Friends, Charles D. Kirkman, Megan Noble, Lucy Wilkerson, Jamie Pomerleau, Jess Angell, and Sam Sweeney Saya. Space! And a huge thank you to our Knight of the Sainsbury's car park, Sir Alice, guarding the Sainsbury's from the dangers of dragons and loiterers. And a huge thank you to my small council for when I take the throne, Luke Bruton, Shelley Umlad, Dawn Smith, and the Varus in the Shadows who wishes not to be named. Thank you so much for your continued support. And finally, a huge thank you to the stars and the constellation Aldrin's Mickey, shining above us, engorged in the heavens. Thank you to Lysa Cohen, the Goblin Child, Lizzie, John Oldman Byrne, and those who wish not to be named. Thank you so, so much for your support. We couldn't do the show without you. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Enjoy your week.
You've been listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, hosted by John Hosier-Byrne, David Riley, and Rob O'Sullivan. The show is produced by Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. You can find out more about the show, our companies, and upcoming podcasts at stonefacefilms.com and at sentinelaudio.com. Our opening theme is by Lazyitis, and all other music is by the Cooper Church Amendment. You can get involved in future shows by sending questions and messages to the Stoneface Films Twitter, at Stoneface Films. If you could take the time to rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd really appreciate it. We thank you all for your continued support of this podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.